You have your Bibles with you? Could you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4? Our scripture reading tonight is in Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to just take time to read the whole chapter. It's not a particularly lengthy chapter, four verses. In Hebrews chapter 4, please. And begin to read from verse number 1. It says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, nor being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, Today, after so long a time, as it is said, Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. We'll end the reading there at the end of the chapter. We trust and believe the Lord will add his own blessing as the scriptures have been read. Just before I come to preach tonight, we're going to again seek the Lord in a further word of prayer and just ask for his help at this point in the meeting. Eternal God and Father in heaven, we do thank thee for all that has already happened here tonight in the service. I thank thee for the singing of thy hymn, the prayers that have gone up. And Lord, even for the reading of the word of God, we thank thee for the scriptures. Thank thee for the great truth revealed in the word of God. And Lord, we pray even tonight as we would consider these verses in the book of Hebrews, that you will even bless them and even thrill our hearts tonight with the great truths that are being revealed to us. Lord, I pray that you would even help me tonight. Lord, I am nervous and I feel my inadequacy tonight, and I just pray, Lord, that you would come alongside me and you would strengthen me, you would meet me at the point of my need, give me everything that I need, Lord. And Lord, above all, may you be glorified. Pray for the people here that you would even encourage them in their hearts, that you would give them ears that are open to hear the word and hearts to receive it. Oh Lord, just bless our time together now. In Jesus' name we pray those things. Amen. I wonder tonight, what would you be willing to do to meet royalty? Well, I ask the question because twice a year in the months of June and in the months of December, many people have the opportunity to meet royalty. See, in June, the opportunity is given at the Queen's official birthday. And then again in December to mark the new year, 1,000 people are added to a list of honours. You see, that's the case because not anybody can just simply march up through the gates of Buckingham Palace, knock on the front door and invite themselves in. But no, you need to be invited, don't you? But you know, when we speak here of the honours, the New Year's honour, for example, it's much more even difficult than that because not only do you need to be invited, but you need to have someone nominate you or recommend you for an honour. And there are certain criteria that the individual must meet to be eligible. You see, you need to have made a significant contribution to your field of work. You need to have made a contribution in enhancing the reputation of Britain. You need to have been innovative while recognising or receiving recognition. You need to have been a long-standing volunteer, displayed moral courage, or even helped someone less able than yourself. These are just some of the categories that you would need to do to receive that invitation. But you know, once you've been nominated, it doesn't begin or end there, because you then have to bypass a honours committee, and if you're successful there, then you have to go on to the Prime Minister, and then that is passed on to the Queen. And then roughly 12 to 18 months later, you will receive your letter in the post with that invitation to come and collect your reward. And if you've done a lot of things, if you've done a lot of great things in your life, you might even have that great privilege of becoming a sir, becoming a dame, and that has the added privilege of getting to meet the Queen face to face. And no doubt that is a tremendous privilege. It's a great honour to meet with the Queen. But you know, it's so much work, isn't it, in order to receive a reward. And tonight here in the portion that we've read together in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, we read of a greater privilege here, because we aren't meeting with any earthly monarch. But rather, we can have an audience with the King of Kings here. We can have an audience with the one who sits on a greater throne than any earthly throne. And we need to do nothing. We need to do nothing to be able to approach him, because Christ has done it all. Christ has made that pathway open through the blood of Christ. And tonight I simply just want to focus our attention on the verses here. And I particularly want to focus on that final verse, Hebrews 4, verse 16. See, the verse there says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And tonight I simply just want to take as a subject the Christian's approach to the throne of grace. We're going to consider tonight the Christian's approach to the throne of grace. And therefore, the obvious place for us to begin tonight would be at the place of this approach. Because again, read there with me the words of the opening words of the verse. Because it says, "Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace." And therefore, we're going to consider for a moment here this throne of grace and what it is. Because the allusion here, of course, is to the mercy seat. It's to God's throne here in Israel, if you like. And you know, once a year there in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, he would enter into the tabernacle. He would pass through the veil into the Holy of Holies. Of course, that veil, or that Holy of Holies there, through the veil, it is a picture of heaven. And he would enter into the Holy of Holies with the censer of incense and with the blood of the sacrifice. And once inside the Holy of Holies there, then the priest there, he would approach the ark. That ark, of course, was overlaid with a mercy seat. And he would offer a sacrifice for the sins of the people through the sprinkling of the blood upon the mercy seat. But the incense here that he brings with him, what does that speak of? Of course, it speaks of prayer. It's symbolic of prayer in Scripture. And surely that also shows us that not only does he come in and offer the sacrifice, but the high priest in the Old Testament, he would have offered prayer for the people for their sins. And anybody who studied the tabernacle will know that the Holy of Holies, it's not a very large room, it's a very small room. And therefore that incense, as it wafted throughout the room, it would create a large cloud of smoke. And it would fill that room very quickly. It would almost create, if you like, a barrier between the high priest and the mercy seat. And of course the illusion that we get from that is, you think of Moses there on Sinai. He went up to Sinai there in the Shekinah glory, the cloud, it appeared and it protected him from the presence of God. And therefore, the mercy seat, the Holy of Holies, that is a similar experience there for the high priest on the Day of Atonement. But you know, the mercy seat, it was God's throne in Israel, wasn't it? But you can't really or never truly call this a throne of grace. Because the high priest, he continually had to go in year after year, make sacrifice after sacrifice for sin. You know, thank God tonight that we no longer have to approach this way. Because read with me what it says there in verse 14. It says in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." See, those words there, being passed into the heaven, it actually speaks of passing through the heaven. Because Jesus Christ there, when he went to the cross, when he died that atoning death, and he cried, "Finished," The work was done. The veil was rent from top to bottom. The way of access was made open into the Holy of Holies. And as believers tonight, we therefore can come boldly to that throne of grace. Think of Jewish rabbis in the time of the Old Testament. And the Jewish rabbis, they spoke of two thrones. They had a throne of grace and they had a throne of judgment. And they had these two thrones because they couldn't reconcile these two attributes of God, his judgment and his mercy. But you know, in light of the finished work of Christ, in light of what he has done, we know that mercy and judgment met there at Calvary. And therefore we are left here with this one throne of grace. Now, of course, God himself, he sits upon the throne. And because of that one-time sacrifice for sin by the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I, we can approach this throne. We don't approach on our own merits, upon our own goodness, but no, we approach upon the righteousness of Christ. Because Christ, he has given us his righteousness, and we are acceptable, therefore, unto God. God's throne here, it is a throne of grace, therefore, because of the one who sits on the right hand of God. You think of a throne, even in the worldly sense, it speaks of power, doesn't it? It speaks of authority, it speaks of sovereignty. The one sitting on the throne, he or she is able to pass judgment how they see fit. And if you look back at your history books, there are many kings and many queens who sat upon a throne. And many of them, they ruled by fear, by corruption, through injustice. But yet no such accusation could be made here regarding the one who sits on the throne of grace, because he is indeed a just judge. And you know, by right, God, he could have set up an unjust throne. He could have passed death upon all who approach, because as sinners, you and I, we deserve nothing from God. We can rejoice tonight because the one who sits upon that throne, we read here in the verses that he is gracious and he is merciful unto us. You see here the place of the approach, it was the throne of grace. But then again in Hebrews 4 and verse 16, let us secondly see here the practice of our approach. The practice of our approach is seen in the opening words. It says, let us therefore come boldly. You see, these words here, let us therefore come boldly, they show me two things. They answer two very simple questions, because they show us why and how we are able to come. Now, the why here, it's answered with the first three words, let us therefore. Because these words, they're simply added in by the author here to link the previous two verses, verses 14 and verse 15. We can almost read them in the following way because of this. We can read them because of everything that has been said previously in verses 14, verses 15. Now we can approach boldly. See, verse 14, it speaks there of having a great high priest, doesn't it? Because he has passed through the heavens, because he is the Son of God. Verse 15, because he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Because of all these things, we can therefore come. But you know, not only is there why we can come here, but then the words also reveal to us how we can come. Because it tells us that we can come boldly. And these two words, the words come and boldly, they are verbs, they are action words, they're doing words, if you like. And in the Greek, the word come, it gives the thought of approaching. It gives the thought of drawing near. And we see something of that a little bit over in Hebrews chapter 10, if you turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 10, please, and the verse number 22, just over a few pages. Hebrews 10 and verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You know, those words draw near, it's the same word come there in Hebrews chapter 4. But you know, these words here, they don't mean that we can approach the Lord in arrogance or in pride. We can't approach based on our own merits, we've already seen that. But you know, the only means of our approach is with reverence, and it is through the blood of Jesus Christ. We see that there in the few verses previous, verse 19 of the same chapter. Because it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. See, we see here our boldness is solely upon the merits of Christ's sacrifice. It's solely upon the blood of Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 4, the verse 16, we have here a great picture of prayer. But in Hebrews chapter 10, the verses 19 to 20, what we're considering here now, we have an even fuller picture for the believer. Because these verses, they speak of the access that we have that is greater. And that namely is a life through the veil. And you see that there if you read on into verse 20. Because it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. See, our boldness here is based upon Christ. Not only are we to come here, but we are to come boldly. We've already intimated what the word boldly is. We've spoken about it previously, but here it can mean many different things. Because it speaks of a freedom. It speaks of an assurance. It speaks of a confidence that we can have in the place of prayer. It speaks of cheerful courage. It speaks of reverential confidence. And we could turn to many places in the Word of God, and we see this word used time and time again, particularly in the writings of the Apostle Paul. Let me read you there the verse in Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse 12. Because it says, there in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And again, the same Apostle Paul, and a few chapters later, Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse 19, he says this. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And you know, the book of Hebrews, it's a wonderful book. And there is a bit of debate, isn't there, on who the author of the book is. We're not going into great detail on that tonight. But I believe verses such as Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 6, and other verses within Paul's epistles, they help to prove, I believe, that the epistle was written by the Apostle Paul. You know, perhaps if you read your Bible, maybe you've noticed it, maybe you haven't, but the Bible I have here tonight, it says the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. But you maybe look at another Bible and it won't have that because there is a bit of conflict, a bit of difference of opinion in who it is. But I believe verses like Ephesians here, they help us to see that it was indeed Paul who was the author of Hebrews. The high priest in the Old Testament, when he came to the throne here into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, I believe he would have come with fear. Because if he had made a mistake, if he had transgressed in any way, then it would most likely have meant his death. And again, here we see the message of the book of Hebrews, because it's all about the superiority of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we tonight, when we come to pray, we don't come fearful. We don't come worried. But we come boldly. We come with that confidence because of the one who we approach. Same boldness is found in the Old Testament. You think of Esther as she approached the throne of Ahasuerus. Esther chapter 4, in the verse 16, we read the words, "If I perish, I perish." And you know, Esther here, she wasn't being rash. She wasn't being bravado in her attitude. But no, her confidence wasn't based on King Ahasuerus, her husband. But it was upon the sovereign God of life and death. And you know, we too can have that same confidence that she had in our great high priest. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he is sovereign over all things. And you know, the words there, "let us therefore come boldly," they have even deeper meaning to us than what we've considered so far. Because I believe they speak to us tonight of the frequency in which we can come. It's not simply a case of "let us therefore come boldly." But you look at it in the original Greek, it's "let us keep coming." Because we can come as many times as we want. There's no limit to how many times we can come and seek the Lord in prayer. A Christian, you know, who's continually in prayer, it's a benefit. It is a great privilege, and it will only seek to help our communion and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you think of the woman Esther. You think of those people in that time and how they had to approach the throne. Because if anybody approached the throne without the invitation of the king, we know that the king most likely would have killed them. The only exception to the rule is if they approached the king and he held out the golden scepter of favor. And again, this surely shows us the superiority of our great high priest. Because we don't need to approach in that way. We need no invitation to come. He invites us to come here tonight. And just turn with me for a moment to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, please, just so we see this a little more clearly. Verse 15. says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." We have here a picture of our justification, our right standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you also see here our adoption, because after you're justified, you're immediately adopted into the family of God. And whenever you're adopted into the family of God, you receive and are partaker of those benefits. See here, we don't have to have that spirit of fear. We don't have to have the spirit of bondage, but no, rather we can come tonight and we can cry, Abba, Father. We've seen tonight the place of the approach. It is the throne of grace. We've seen tonight the practice of the approach, that we can come boldly. But there's just one final thing I want to leave with you that we see in Hebrews chapter 4. And that is the purpose of our approach. Read the final part of the verse there with me. It says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And you know, that word obtain, it simply means to receive something. It means to lay hold. It means to take possession of something. Again, the Greek, it's a word that means certainty. It isn't simply a case of, you know, we may obtain this or we might obtain that, but no, you're certain. You're guaranteed to obtain it. And again, it's not because of anything in us, but it's in the one whom we are coming to. And tonight we ask the question, and what are we guaranteed of? Well, again, Hebrews, it answers that for us, because it says that we are guaranteed to obtain mercy and find grace. And those two words, mercy and grace, they're words that we know so well. The word mercy, it simply means kindness or compassion or pardon. The word grace is simply God's goodness, his favor, his acceptance. But again, you can think of those two words in a slightly different way, because mercy here, it's God not giving us what we deserve. And mercy, or grace, sorry, it is God giving us, or not giving us what we deserve, don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. And grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Because truth be told, if we're honest with ourselves tonight, you and I, we deserve the least of God's mercies. We got what we deserved, then we would be damned to hell because of our sin. And yet everybody here tonight who is saved can look back to a time in your life when God was so good to you, when the Lord was merciful and gracious, when he stepped into your life and he saved you. And you know, had that grace and mercy ceased at that point in time of your salvation, it would have been more than we deserved. Yet we know it doesn't cease. It never ceases. It never runs out. Think of the verses in Lamentations chapter 3. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his passions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And those words reveal to me something of the frequency of his grace. Because we receive grace each and every single day of our lives. As soon as we get up in the morning, we receive grace. As soon as we go to bed at night, we receive grace, don't we? But you know, not only is there a frequency, but Scripture also speaks of grace in abundance. You know, thinking of those words of Psalm 23. Psalm 23 in the verse 5, it tells us there, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The picture there of a cup that is full to overflowing. And that is the same as it is with the grace of God in our life. It is abundant. It is frequent. But we also see here that God's grace is sufficient. Because the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 in the verse 9, you know the verse. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And you know, what was the purpose of God's grace and God's mercy here? Says there at the end of Hebrews 4 and verse 16, it is to help in time of need. And when do you and I need help? Well, surely the only answer that we can give tonight is that we need help at all times, because there's never a time in our lives when we don't need the grace and the mercy of God. And again, the words, yet they have a deeper meaning. Because when you literally translate this, you read it a little differently. Because it says that we may receive kindness and find grace for seasonable times. And those words, seasonable times there, they suggest particular times, particular seasons in our lives whenever we need a greater outpouring of the grace of God. You could apply these words in many ways tonight. You could apply them to those suffering during times of bereavement. You could apply them to someone going through a personal trial, through a struggle, through a temptation, through a deep sin that they're struggling with. And surely the Lord, he gives a greater measure of grace in those times, doesn't he? You know, I'm sure in the past, I know I've had the experience, but I'm sure in the past you've had someone come up to you and know they mean well, they don't mean any harm by it, but you're going through a trial in life and they will tell you, I know how you feel. But they've never went through that same experience themselves, and therefore they don't really know how you feel, but they don't mean anything bad by it. However, how wonderful is it? How amazing is it that we come to a throne of grace and we come to one who can truly sympathize with us? See, in Hebrews 4 and verse 15 it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." See, Christ, he suffered in greater ways than you and I could ever suffer. You think back even to how he ministered on earth. You think back to the temptations there, the devil in the wilderness. You think of how much he suffered in Gethsemane. You think of the sufferings in the cross. And yet we read there, yet without sin. We read that he didn't sin. He couldn't sin. He never will sin. And these words, they surely only add to how much the Savior can sympathize with us. Because whenever you and I are tempted by the devil, whenever we are tempted into sin, we only need to be brought so far before we succumb to that temptation. But Christ was sinless. And therefore, the devil here, he had thrown everything at him. He had thrown everything in his arsenal, and yet the Lord never succumbed to those temptations. Think of the father there in the book of Isaiah that pleased the Lord to bruise him. Even his own father forsook him at Calvary. And yet he still endured to the end without sin. In Hebrews chapter 2, we read the words, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." And that word, succored there, it's another word for help. It's the same word actually we read there in Hebrews chapter 4. And surely this evening, we have seen that coming often to the Lord's throne in prayer will be for our help, for our benefit. Again, you think back to the Old Testament, you think back to the high priest. You know, when an Israelite, whenever he was in trouble, whenever he needed help, he couldn't just run off to the high priest at any time. The high priest himself, he couldn't go into the Holy of Holies whenever he pleased. And yet as believers, we can run to our great high priest. We can run to him at any time. With any problem, we can run as often as we want, and nothing is ever too much for our Lord. See, that's the great theme, that's the great message of the book of Hebrews, that we can actually spiritually draw near to the Lord and enjoy the fellowship with him each and every single day. And yet you just think of the number of people who neglect to avail of this grace. You know, some are infrequent visitors to that throne of grace. You know, sadly, some people, they never visit that throne. And therefore, that ought to challenge us, it challenges me, to examine our own hearts tonight. To ask ourselves the question, do you and I truly avail of this throne of grace as much as we can? And if I'm being honest with you tonight, I could be at the throne of grace more than I am. We have much to be in prayer for. You just have to look around us and there's so many things that we need to pray for. Think even here tonight of the church here. Think of the witness in Port Glenoon. Think of your minister, your session here. We think of those who are unwell at this time. We think of the denomination as a whole, the state of the land. We look around us and we see sin in every corner. You know, we also need to be in prayer for the unsaved. We need to be able to reach them. We need to be able to send them out with the message of Christ. The unsaved need to be reached with the gospel. We need to pray for that. And therefore, with that in mind, I just wanted to take these words to heart tonight. Take the words of Hebrews 4 and verse 16, and let us tonight just do as we are instructed here. Because it says, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Just before we come to our time of prayer, I'm just going to have our brother, he's going to come up and he's going to give the announcements and some prayer requests, even to leave them before you.